remote program.
Yes. All right. Oh, okay.
Well, we hope you come to Denver sometime.
Thank you so much. Thanks. Yes, our next presenter, Tangerine Brigham, Director of Healthy San Francisco.
Okay, you don't have to respond, but
Hello.
Thank you. Thank you. Give a little love. Give a little love. It's San Diego. Okay, I have nothing to disclose. I own no stock. No one wants to get entangled with me. Okay, so I wanted to really talk about three things within the context of Healthy San Francisco. So certainly what it is and how we got to the point where we developed a local access model in San Francisco, how we went from sort of a policy to implementing it and the sort of operational challenges that that leads. And then finally, I've been asked in several audiences sort of how replicable is a model like San Francisco. So I'll talk about those three things. Sounds good? Okay. Oops. So I think everyone probably understands the magnitude of the problem, and I will say, even though the Department of Public Health in San Francisco, like Denver, is both a dual public health provider and a personal health care provider, I'm going to be focusing certainly on the personal health care services, but embedded in some of the things I'll be talking about are ways in which we're trying to do more public health with a targeted audience, and we think that Healthy San Francisco will allow us to do that, and I'll talk a little bit about that. So you see here the numbers. I'll give you a sense. At least in San Francisco, we think there are about 73,000 uninsured adults. This is not based on any surveying we've done in San Francisco, but it comes out of a biannual survey that's done out of UCLA, my alma mater. Yeah, oh, thank you. Got a little few nods. The California Health Interview Survey. What we know about the uninsured, certainly we see this in San Francisco, certainly less access to medical care. They certainly present at later stages, certainly greater mortality and morbidity. And even though the Department of Public Health functions along with our community clinics and nonprofit hospitals that provide charity care, it's a pretty fragmented system for someone who is uninsured, who's trying to navigate their way to get access to either primary care services, preventive care services, or specialty. So San Francisco's response, San Francisco really started looking at issues around health insurance and expansion in the mid-90s. It actually has, through the Department of Public Health, two insurance efforts for discrete populations, one for children and one for in-home supportive services workers. And we work with our partner, the San Francisco Health Plan, to deliver services to those individuals. But most recently, the Board of Supervisors and the mayor adopted an ordinance, the Healthcare Security Ordinance. The Healthcare Security Ordinance has two distinct parts. The first is an employer spending requirement. I don't know if anyone reads, you know, there was, I think, probably an article in the San Diego Tribune a while ago. The employer spending required essentially requires employers to spend a certain amount of money on a regular basis to provide health services for their employees. And those employers have a number of options in which they can do that. They could do traditional insurance, they could do a health savings account, they could participate in a city option, which includes Healthy San Francisco. If they're a big box store, maybe they want to open up a clinic on site. So they've got a lot of ways in which they can do that. This is the one that's been challenged in federal court. Being heard before the Ninth Circuit. The Ninth Circuit to date has ruled in favor of the city and has allowed us to continue this program. We've had it in operation since January 2008. The second component of the ordinance focuses on the employer spending requirement. It looks at the issue of uninsured irrespective of whether or not someone's employed or not, and it focuses on what we believe people need fundamentally who are uninsured, which is access to care, which can be provided in a non-insurance model. This is overseen by the Department of Public Health, and this is what I'm responsible for. And we started the program in the middle of 2007. Okay. So the program. The program provides healthcare services, and this is really based on the ordinance, this component right here, to adults 18 to 64. We did not target children because we actually have a local health insurance product for children, and for those above the age of 65, generally in San Francisco, they either get Medi-Cal or Medicare. If they aren't eligible for either of those programs, we have a sliding scale for them. So it's the adult population, irrespective of someone's employment status. So the notion is, in healthy San Francisco, if in fact you're low income and you change multiple employers, doesn't matter who your employer is, as long as you're eligible for healthy San Francisco, you renew, you stay in that program. Because we know certainly that contributes to the rising number of uninsured based on people's employment status. Immigration status is not relevant for our population, and certainly not for San Francisco. We are what's called a sanctuary city, so we provide a range of services irrespective of whether or not someone's a U.S.-born citizen, a naturalized citizen, or an undocumented person. Irrespective of pre-existing conditions, someone has a pre-existing condition, they are still eligible to participate in Healthy San Francisco. We think it's a little, you know, I was going to say, like, stupid, but I shouldn't say stupid. This is being recorded, isn't it?
Yeah.
Unwise and imprudent prevent health insurance for individuals who with pre-existing conditions. And income levels. Irrespective of someone's income level, they are eligible for the program. It offers comprehensive services. I'll go into that. I'll go into the affordability component of the program. This is really important. It's not insurance. And a lot of people have asked once I go through this, well, Tangerine, it sort of, you know, waddles like a duck, quacks like a duck. It should be a duck. It's not insurance for really four fundamental reasons. First, in California, how many of you actually work in local government in California? So you're aware that the state requires under Section 17,000 all counties to relieve for the suffering of individuals in cases of medical and health emergencies. San Francisco does it, San Diego does it, Siskiyou County does it. We had a program prior to Healthy San Francisco. We have just reshaped that program. California ordinance doesn't require that you provide, or California statute doesn't require that you provide health insurance. It requires that you provide services to relieve any health conditions. So that's one thing. The second thing is that under this program, the range of services that are available to an individual are only available within the confines of the city and county of San Francisco, the geographic boundaries. So If you've ever been in San Francisco, we've got a county to the north and to the south. If someone was in the program and they happen to have gotten sick in a neighboring county, Healthy San Francisco would not cover any of the medical costs incurred for caring for that person while they're in that county. The third thing is that, we'll go to this when we talk about affordability, an individual's participation fee, which in insurance jargon would be premium, is tied to their federal poverty level. Whereas, let's just say that Elbra and Ramon were, you know, highfalutin executives at Marriott, and you're not the big highfalutin. She's the big highfalutin executive, and you're middle management. They're both offered a Kaiser plan, irrespective of their income level. If they pick the same plan, they're going to pay the same premium. Healthy San Francisco is different. Depending upon the income, Albra would pay more, whereas Ramon would pay less. And then the fourth distinction with Healthy San Francisco is we require someone to be considered ineligible for public coverage before they can enroll in the program, whereas insurance, it could be, we'll take our two, you know, willing participants here, that maybe Ramon is actually eligible for Medi-Cal for a variety of reasons. But, in fact, the employer might not know that, and the employer is going to offer them health insurance. We don't have a system like that. So Healthy San Francisco is not insurance in its traditional form. As I said, it restructures the existing county indigent system and the eligibility. Okay. So for many participants, Healthy San Francisco is really an organized system. What we've done is, and there's been a lot of work about the notion of a primary care medical home, a place where individuals can go to get a range of services, preventative and primary, where the staff, you know the person's name, the person has developed a relationship, the person will seek out preventative services. If they've got a chronic illness, they will go there to help with their own self-management of that illness. And people select that home based on either their geographic preferences, cultural preferences, or the like. So that's one key feature. And the medical homes are comprised of, and I'll get to this, both public, private, and nonprofit. We have all three in our system, which is somewhat of a rarity, trying to get all of these different entities that would traditionally perhaps not care for this population, caring for this population. We have developed one common eligibility and enrollment system. Prior to Healthy San Francisco, I'll pick on somebody else. I'll pick on you because you look familiar. With the blonde hair and the pink peach. Your name is
Catherine.
Let's assume Catherine's uninsured. Prior to Healthy San Francisco, what city do you live in, town? Or? Boston.
Boston.
Boston. Oh, Boston. Oh, they lost the game. That game. So she lives in Boston, and say there are three clinics in Boston, and she was going to all those various clinics. Every time she would go to a clinic, each of those clinics had different eligibility and enrollment systems. They weren't tied in any way, so she would have to fill out her name, give her information for each various clinic to determine if she was eligible for services. Under Healthy San Francisco, we have over 30 medical homes. They all share the same eligibility and enrollment system, even though all of them are not under the jurisdiction of the city and county of San Francisco. So we developed one eligibility system, one enrollment system. It's web-based. Everyone has access to it. And the great thing is if, for example, Catherine were to go into Clinic A, she's enrolled in Healthy San Francisco. She selected it, but Catherine is a forgetful woman. She forgot she selected Clinic A, so she wants to get a medical visit. She goes into Clinic B. Clinic B says, oh, are you a member of Healthy San Francisco? Catherine doesn't recall, but Catherine can tell us her name, her birth date, some basic information. Clinic B can go on into the web-based system, and it will say that Catherine actually is enrolled in the program and that her medical home is Clinic A. And they'll be able to direct her to Clinic A as opposed to Catherine using services episodically going to multiple clinics. So it's a really great feature that allows for and really promotes the notion of going to one medical home within the system. We have for the... Not in terms of primary care. The notion is you've got your own primary care clinic that you've selected, and so we want you to develop a relationship with that clinic. Now, if that clinic didn't have, for example, urgent care, and you needed urgent care, then you could go to another clinic to get urgent care. And certainly, clinics don't necessarily have specialties or inpatient facilities. Yeah. So, okay, 5 minutes. The cost to services are clear and accessible. We have got a coordinated provider, and we have customer service for the first time. So these are the services that are included in Healthy San Francisco, all your traditional preventative primary care services. In terms of excluded services, we don't cover dental and vision, not because we don't believe in the value of dental and vision. It is that, and quite frankly, dental is very expensive for the adult population. We have limited dollars. And so we had to make choices and trade-offs for our population. We also don't cover long-term care or organ transplants, by and large, because our population becomes eligible for California's Medicaid program, Medi-Cal. And so those services are covered that way. The provider network, you see it there. We've got the medical homes, the public ones, the private, the nonprofits, the private physicians group. Participating, the hospitals, in addition to San Francisco General Hospital, which is a public facility, we have actually 4 other hospitals, and this first one, California Pacific, actually has 3 hospitals in its network. And we also have UC. In terms of enrollment and population, as I said before, we've got 73,000 uninsured in San Francisco. Because Healthy San Francisco is a voluntary program, we know that not all uninsured will enroll in the program. Our best guesstimate, quite frankly, is that a little over 80% will enroll. Actually, now we're at 32,000, but when I put the presentation together, we're at 31,000 who have enrolled in the program. Enrollment is phased in based on income. So we started with enrolling those people below 100% of the federal poverty level first. We did that for a period of time. In January of this year, we expanded to individuals who had incomes up to 300% of the federal poverty level. And in January of next year, our goal is to go up to 500% of the federal poverty level. You see the number of the statistics. One of the great things about the program is that we're now getting people who are eligible but not enrolled in public coverage, and getting them in public coverage, which is great for us. The demographics you see, and part of the distribution in terms of income, I think reflects, number one, lower income individuals are more inclined not to be uninsured, and number two, we focus on that population initially in our outreach efforts. You see the demographics there. In terms of affordability, we spent a lot of work on this. We know that fees affect access for individuals, and so the fee structure is such that no one pays. If you're below 100% of the federal poverty level, you pay no fees. If you're between 101% and 200%, a little over 2%, but no one pays who has up to 500% of the federal poverty level, no more than 5% of their annual income on fees. That includes participation fees and also point-of-service fees, based on what we understand to be the average utilization. Okay, so contributions. They get this presentation, yeah? No?
How is this available? I think if you're a member of
ACLA. Oh, good, good, good. Go online.
It's now available online.
Okay, all right.
Actually, we could make it available through our website.
Okay. Okay, also through CPAC then.
Okay, so I'll...
We'll look at it.
You're taking my time. Okay. What impacted our ability to do this? We had a short period of time in which to develop Healthy San Francisco, literally less than a year. Certainly, I think the political will and leadership, and I think that's critical. We have the support of the public. In 1998, San Francisco voters approved a declaration of policy saying that the city would, in fact, go towards expanding access to uninsured individuals, and since that time, the city's done it in an incremental fashion. We tried to leverage not only the city's financial resources, but all the resources of all providers who care for the uninsured. There are individuals and entities caring for the uninsured. The challenge is getting them all around the table to see how can we can maximize our resources. The implementation has gone relatively smoothly. Our evaluation, in terms of last slide, features that I think are generalizable, I would not suggest that any county could take this as a cookie-cutter approach. San Francisco isn't, you know, God's gift to anybody. But I will say, even though I think we like to think so, that the notion of doing primary care homes is very important. For those of you who are as old as I am, think of Marcus Welby. Certainly a centralized eligibility and enrollment system where all systems can be part of is important. I think it's really interesting, and we're going to be sort of testing this and evaluating this, the notion that you can expand access without it being insurance. I think that has been the hang-up in a lot of our state and national efforts, which is that it has to be insurance. Maybe it doesn't have to be insurance. And we're going to test this and be able to document and show through an evaluation what works and what doesn't work. And certainly the public-private partnerships have been helpful for us. Thanks.
Thank you, Tangerine, for telling us about really one of the more exciting approaches anywhere in the United States. Okay, so...